your people. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to ready your heart this morning. Amen. The Bible says, believe the word of God and you will be established. You will be secure. And believe his prophets and you will prosper. Now, I want you to believe this word. Amen. And help me welcome God's servant, the man of God, Pastor Pascal.
Amen. Oh, come and give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word that will change our lives completely. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your Bible and let's get to work. Take your Bible, please. You have it. All right. Repeat after me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I
have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
Every promise in this book is mine. Every chapter, every line. One word from God can change my life forever. Today I will be taught the word. My mind is alert. My heart is ready. Everything I learn, I'll apply. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big shout of hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you so much. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. So we want to do the last part of our series, Moving Further, this morning. And I'm taking you to, I think probably this is going to be part 4 or part 5. I'm not quite sure. Is it part 4? All right, part 4. And I want us to go straight to our foundational scripture this morning from the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. It says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, amen, shining brighter and brighter until midday. For the past 3 weeks, we've been exploring the different components that can affect the shining of the light of a righteous person. According to scriptures, you can see that your light is supposed to shine brighter and brighter. And that is my belief for you, that in your life, things are not going to go down. They're going to go brighter and brighter. Amen. If they are not going brighter and brighter yet, you must just believe this word. You know, we are believers. We are not doubters. We believe the word of God. So I believe that if you stand on this word, you know, something about believing is that you don't believe for a day. You have to believe for some time. Amen. Before you can see the desired results. Now, another law that you need to learn as well is that sometimes things don't shine not because they cannot shine, but they rather don't shine because there are some forces that are stopping them from shining. So we studied some of those forces for the past few weeks. Number one, we saw that it was your past achievements. Do you remember that? We saw that what you have achieved can become the reason why you don't achieve anything else. Like you get stuck on something that actually you did very well on. Then the second thing that can stop you from shining brighter and brighter is your past disappointments. The things that didn't happen, the things that didn't go well. Maybe your hurt, your pain, your failure, all of those things have a potential to affect you shining a little bit brighter. May that never be your case. We saw last week that your present challenge, something you are going through currently, can be the reason why you are not shining brighter and brighter. We also saw that discouragement has a way of affecting your progress. These are things that happen to us. You get discouraged as you go. In your ministry, you can get discouraged. In your family life, you can get discouraged. In your finances, you can get discouraged. But just because you are discouraged doesn't mean that is the end of your life. If you can just press on, you will see on the other side of the storm, there is always a sunshine. Amen. Hallelujah. And we also saw last week that a broken altar
can be the reason why you are not shining brighter and brighter. And a broken altar has got to do with your prayer life. Brothers and sisters, I don't need to remind you that there are forces fighting your rising. Whether you think about it or you don't, whether you are aware of it or not, the reality is there are forces that are fighting. The number one enemy of a believer, apart from the things we're talking about, is Satan. And Satan is not a visible force. Satan is an enemy you don't see. Demons are enemies you don't see. Curses are forces you don't see. And you can be on the same spot for years. Not because you don't have the potential to shine brighter, but simply because you are not engaging the altar of prayer. And some people pray just regular prayers. Father, help me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Those kind of prayers do not have the capacity to fight the things that are fighting you. And I need to remind us in these days that God, Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Not a house of feasting, a house of prayer. And the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So God lives in you. It means that you yourself must be a temple of prayer. Yourself. Then we also saw last week that another thing that can stop you from shining brighter and brighter is a closed mouth. When you don't understand the power of words, when you are not aware that what you say is what you get, when you think that your words don't matter, you will make the mistake of not prophesying over your future. You will make the mistakes of not declaring the word of God over your circumstances. A closed mouth has the capacity to limit something that was supposed to move. So Jesus says, whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thrown in the sea, it shall happen if he believes it. So it is not every challenge that you remove by talking. It is not, by praying. Some challenges require you speaking. And when you are too big to speak, you are too big to rise. When you are too embarrassed to speak to the mountain, then I'm sorry, you will not take one more step. Jesus spoke to a tree. You need to learn to wake up in the night and to speak to that thing that is embarrassing your Christianity. I will continue teaching you these principles, people of God, because I want you to realize people don't rise by chance. There is nothing like that. When you see a soccer match taking place, you are watching it for 90 minutes, but you have no idea the hours that have been invested in the secret place. There are things men who rise do that men who fall don't do. And in this church, I take my time to teach you the things that causes a man to rise. But it's because today many people think rising is just a matter of receive it in the name of Jesus. No. If that was the case, you could have risen a long time ago. There are other forces. Tell your neighbor there are other forces. You see, the Bible talks about the kingdom of God being a kingdom of secrets and keys. Do you understand? It's keys and secrets. The Bible says, thou art a God who hides himself. God is a God who hides himself. God, you see, let me tell you something about God. God is not easily findable. The only thing that is easy about God is salvation. After salvation, everything else is a mystery. That's why many people enter salvation easily and they think everything else is going to be easy. Let me ask you a question. How come you don't expose your money for everybody to see it? Why is it that when you get your salary, you don't put it at the door, like just there, like where everybody can see it? Because it's precious. Yeah. And anything that is precious, you hide it. God is very precious. God is more precious than your money. That's why God hides himself. He is only accessible to those who deserve to find him. That's why the mysteries of success hide themselves. Because of what happens when you discover them. They cannot be discovered by a casual man. That's why a casual man will never rise. God made many things to make you understand how his kingdom works. You will never find gold on the surface. You find dust on the surface. Gold, you dig deep to find it. It hides. Diamond, all those, all things, anything that is precious, oil, it goes and hides underwater. So you have to pass the fear of water. Then you have to pass the fear, the depth before you find ground. And then you start digging the ground itself before you find the oil. Anything precious is not on the surface. Look at your own life. Where your heart is. Where is your heart? Do you see where your heart is? Can you see your heart? Your heart is so precious. God did not allow your heart to be where your eyes are. You see, I can touch. Stand up. I can touch your nose. I can even squeeze your nose. Nothing major will happen to you. But imagine me doing this to your heart right now. You will be dead in a minute. Because your heart is so precious. God chose to hide your heart so that your enemies cannot just come when you are asleep and they squeeze your heart to kill you. They have to work hard to find your heart. Your brain is hidden. Things that are important are not on the surface. They're not on the surface. So success itself is not a small thing. You are thinking that you will just come to church and somebody will say, listen, it doesn't work like that. These things that I'm teaching you, if you care to apply them, if you care to do them, not just hear them, because there's another type of people in the church, hearers and not doers. They hear, but they don't do. If you care to do what you hear, when I say use your mouth to speak, you become like a madman. You use your mouth and you speak. When I say build a prayer altar, you build a prayer altar. When I say let go of your past, you let go of your past. Those things, it's only when you start doing it. Christianity is not a thinking religion. It's a doing thing. We don't think Christianity, we do. Last week, I also showed you that another major reason why people don't rise, they lack adaptability. Lack of adaptability. They can only function in given certain circumstances. If the circumstances change, they can't function. Some people, their Christianity can only work when they are in Sun City, when they are around a live Bible church. The moment you take them around, away from a live Bible church, their Christianity dies. They can't adapt. Some people can only be a Christian when they don't have a job. The moment they get a job, their Christianity disappears. They can't adapt to being a Christian and being a person with a job. They can't adapt to that. It becomes too big for them. They can't adapt. Some people cannot adapt to getting paid and going to work again. Especially in our country, South Africa. You will always know a person who is not ready to work after payday. Then you start getting funny sick notes. The uncle start dying. The cousins start dying. Funny people start dying. People, the same uncles die every month. And he always die at the end of the month. Yeah. Then you are dealing with a person who does not have the capacity to get money and to still go and work. He can't adapt to that. Some people can't adapt to becoming a married person. They are used to being single. They wake up alone. And if somebody visits them, it's for a day. You come on Friday, Saturday morning, bye-bye, that's it. So they cannot adapt to having a human being that is not themselves in their house from Monday to Sunday. And that's the difficulty of God giving you a husband or a wife. It's because you are not able to adapt to this new life. He can see. You have a problem when somebody visits you just for 3 days. You are already fed up. How will you live with another person for the rest of your life? So you see that that lack of adaptability is the reason why you are not shining brighter in certain areas. Not lack of prayer, lack of adaptability. You can't adapt. Students who can't adapt after holidays to go back to school. They are now used to watching TV for 5 hours. They are used to eating and watching TV and going to the fridge and eating and what. They are used to that lifestyle. Now they have Tuesday is coming. Tell your neighbor, Tuesday is coming. Tuesday is coming. Now Tuesday is coming and they are already having headaches and headaches. They can't adapt to a change. They can't adapt. You know, when God blessed me with a job, I kept reminding God, Lord, you know, you remember those days when I didn't have a job. I used to pray. I had so much time for you. And, you know, and I kept, God says to me, you know, you need to stop telling me about something I have already moved out of. Adapt to what I have given you now. You're going to have a job and you're going to grow in prayer. Adapt. Tell your neighbor, adapt. Otherwise, you will live a life of excuses. Yeah, this is why this doesn't happen. And it will interest you to know the next thing you will not be able to adapt. Then another one, you know, and then the life of a person just ends there. Because you are unable to adapt. Things must be perfect before you can explore. In this life, no, please. Not in this one. Nothing is perfect here. Only people who learn to adapt to circumstances that change as they always do in time, they don't even tell you they are changing. You just wake up, they have changed. And you have to adapt. Adapt to not just being a Christian anymore. Adapt to being a cell leader now. That's what some of you are not doing well because you keep reminding yourself of the days when I didn't have to care for anybody. You don't understand your season has changed. You need to adapt to your new level now. This is who I'm going to be from today. The old me is past. Stop remembering the days where you will go for a week, 3 weeks. You don't call anybody. You don't care about anybody. You are no more that person. And if you cannot become this new person, your journey has ended. Your journey has ended. I have had to adapt to every single dimension God brings to me. That's why I stay alive. We adapt to stay alive. The dinosaurs are no more because they could not adapt to a change of environment. They could not adapt. The time you had dinosaurs, you had crocodiles. They were living at the same time. Crocodiles are some of the oldest creatures that ever lived in this world. But the crocodile saw a danger on ground, he entered the water. That's why he's still here today. The dinosaur said, I can't. And he died, and it's finished. Tell your neighbor, adapt. Adapt. Stop making excuses. Learn to adapt. Hallelujah. Learn to adapt to something that is fighting you. Adapt to praying in the night. Oh, pastor, you know, I used to pray. No, you can't anymore. Adapt to praying in the night. As long as you are fighting this adaptability, your journey will end. Your journey will end. Because your circumstances are not going to change. You have to adapt. You have to adapt. You keep reminding me of those days when you, look, we are no more in those days. It's finished. God has raised you up. Before you could pray only for 30 minutes and it was okay. Now you can't. Because God has increased your capacity. Adapt to praying for 1 hour. Then adapt to praying for 1 hour, 30 minutes. Then adapt to praying for 2 hours. Adapt yourself. Change. Don't fight it. You either change or you get left behind. That is how life is. You will be amazed at how you will start trailing behind. You who was on the forefront can find yourself at the trail. Because you refuse to adapt. Yeah. You refuse to adapt. I heard the story of the man who invented the typewriter. He invented the typewriter, and the typewriter was doing so well. Every secretary was using it all over the world. But this man didn't understand that a time is coming where we're not going to use the typewriter again. We're going to use a computer. And he couldn't adapt to it. He kept perfecting his typewriter. In the latest news, apparently he got stuck with millions of typewriters in his warehouses. Because the computer came overnight and nobody needs the typewriters again. Couldn't adapt. Look the world around you. Everybody is adapting to change. When Apple brought the iPhone with a touch screen, in no time, everybody is there now. They are not saying, oh, it's iPhone's idea. Let's stick with what. No, we are adapting. Because if you don't adapt, you are left behind immediately. Even Huawei, is it Huawei or Huawei? Huawei is touch screen. Everybody now is touch screen. Even Nokia has resurrected himself and brought a touch screen. Yeah? Because if you don't adapt to the change, you are finished. You get left behind. And this is the reason why our generation is trailing behind. People don't want to educate themselves to be relevant to this generation. Keep bringing us all stuff that don't matter now. In your ministry, adapt. Adapt. There are changes. But changes doesn't mean the end of you. It can be the end of a certain part of you and the beginning of a new part of you. I have had to adapt to preach in two places on Sunday morning, not in the same place. I finish there and I come and preach here. Do you know what it takes to do that? You adapt. You can find a million reasons why you cannot do it. Or you can say, Lord, if you have brought it, there is something in me that can do it. And I choose to adapt to this new life you have given me. It means I will not enjoy certain things anymore. I can't. And the reason why you can't is because you can't change. You cannot eat your cake and still have it. Be ready and willing to pay the price required for your adaptation. Are you a daughter-in-law now? Adapt. Are you a wife? Adapt. Are you a single mom? Adapt. Stop reminding us why he left you and all of those stories. We understand he left you. Adapt. It has happened. Reminding us why he left will never bring him. Adapt to the fact that he is no more, but there is a God that is around. You can adapt to this God and get a way out of this situation. Adapt. Tell your neighbor, adapt now. Adapt. The lack of progress in many people today is linked to lack of adaptation. They are stuck in the past. They don't want to adapt. Number three, we saw last week, is lack of skill. And I want to tell you something. If you have what I need, I will always look for you. Never believe this thing that there are no jobs in South Africa. There are jobs. But people don't have what the people with jobs need. People are using their skin as the job, their CV. I'm black. So, where is the job? You cannot tell me that because you are black, you qualify to work. Huh? Even our sisters, they know you say, I'm dark and lovely. You cannot just say, I'm dark. Imagine if you say, I'm dark and useless. You see that the reason why we come for you is because that of that lovely part you have added to that equation. I'm dark and lovely. Imagine you say, I'm dark and stupid. Huh? It is the lovely part that makes the dark part very beautiful and nice. So I'm expecting people in this church to say, I'm dark and skillful. I've got skill. I know what I'm doing. I understand my job. Once you start developing skill, you start qualifying for something. And people start needing you. You see, if you listen to my side and my teaching style, the bottom line is that a lazy man has no future. That is, if you want to understand, if I can summarize my preaching to you, is that a lazy man has no future. No matter what you do, he cannot move. Because he's lazy. He's lazy to pray. He's lazy to fast. He's lazy to adapt. He's lazy to get skill. He's lazy for everything. And thus, as a result of that, he cannot have a future. That's my preaching to you. And the reverse of that is that a hardworking person has a brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter future. Yes. A person who is ready to do what is required will always rise. He will rise. No matter what, he will rise. And I believe that will be you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's quickly go to the last part that I want to share with you. I told you last night, I was going to share something quick this morning about what I believe to be the deadliest enemy of progress of African people. This one. You see, when you watch National Geography, they say deadliest snakes in Sahara. This one is the deadliest enemy of progress for an African man and woman. And the reason I'm talking about it, because you are in Africa. Actually, your country has Africa in it, South Africa. You see, other countries is just Nigeria, Cameroon, but you, South Africa. So your Africa is in you. Do you understand it? So you must understand that I'm not talking to you exactly. Mm-hmm. I call it traditions and superstitions. Traditions and superstitions are by far the greatest reason why many Africans don't rise high. What is a tradition? A tradition is a belief or a practice that has been passed down from one generation to another. A belief or a practice that has been passed down from generation to generation. That is a tradition. A superstition is also a form of belief that has got to do with the fact that you believe that something you see controls another event that is about to happen. So it's a form of prediction or a form of luck, if you would. In other words, if I wake up in the morning and I see Brother Alex wearing the African thing he's got in his head, then there is a belief that if you see a man wearing that thing early in the morning, it will rain. Superstition is a belief that something you see is going to control something that is going to happen later. These two forces rule on this continent. In any country you go to, it's as if Satan has made superstition and traditions, the headquarters of it is in Africa. Yeah. And these things control the lives of millions of people. Not the word of God.
these things. John 1, 1 to 3 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things. How many things? All things were made by Him. And without Him was anything made that has been made. In the beginning was the Word. So it means anything you begin without the Word is doomed. Anything you begin, and it is not the Word that is at the beginning of that thing, you have failed already. Because in the beginning, the Word must be there. And there are many things we begin without the Word. Why? Because we believe in something else. A man just bought a piece of land, and he built a shop inside that piece of land. Before he opens the shop, do you know who he calls to come and do something? He calls a witch doctor. In the beginning was incantations for that person. Somebody gave birth to a child. The moment the child comes out of the womb, they quickly say a few things. They tie something on the waist. In the beginning were incisions and bracelets and all kinds of things. In the beginning. Those are the forces that control African people. In the beginning, I mean the foundation of this person's life, the thing that controls his life, is not the Word of God. There is another force that is at work in his or her life. Mark chapter 7, verse 13. Thus you nullify the Word of God by your tradition. You nullify the Word of God by your tradition. Remember, a tradition is a belief or a practice passed down from generation to generation. So your tradition has the capacity to cancel the Word of God. Listen, I'm not talking about your culture. You see, there's something that says tradition and culture. Your culture is the nature. You know, God created diversity. Praise God. So you have different people from different areas. Your culture is reflected in what you wear and what you eat. For example, you say that the Zulus wear this way. It's a cultural thing. Do you understand? And the Zulus sing this way. And the Zulu dance this way. That's your culture. Now, tradition is deeper than that. Tradition now is that the Zulu wear this because of this. Or the Zulu eat this when they want to do this. Now you have entered another belief system. It's no more just a cultural. The Zulu wear this when they want to achieve this. So it's a belief now. It's not just something. It's not just clothes anymore. It's something else now. It has entered into tradition. It's a belief. It's a system. By the way, tell the person next to you, you look beautiful this morning. If they are wearing tradition. If they are wearing the Western style, tell them, you look okay. You look okay. If you are wearing tradition, tell them, you look amazing. You look amazing. Praise God. You look amazing. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you blessed by this message? Is the message getting into your spirit? Yes. I'm trying to get you somewhere. The Word of God that creates all things is nullified when you bring tradition into it. It's nullified. And one aspect of tradition that I want to quickly talk about is superstitions. Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myth and old wives' tales. Old wives' tales is superstition. It's an English word for superstition. Have nothing to do with godless myth. Myth are beliefs that have no godly origin. And old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. In other words, don't be involved in superstition. Be involved in godliness. Become a godly person, not a superstitious person. Am I communicating? What are some of the superstitions that we believe very, very plainly in Africa? First of all, if it is raining and the sun is shining at the same time, do you know that that is a problem in Africa? There's a whole mystery behind it. Number one, they say if you see the rain is raining, blah, 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 and the sun is also shining, pah, and then on top of that, the thunder is go. They say Satan is beating his wife. Yeah. I didn't know that Satan has a wife. Yeah. And in my country, they say, if it is raining and the sun is shining, it means an elephant is giving birth. There is a belief that if you keep making funny faces, one day your face will be stuck in one of those funny faces and your face will never come back. So if you keep doing, one day you will do, and then it will be. You try to bring it back and say, Baba, we are stuck now. We are, this is it. This is it. There are superstitions. Tell your neighbor there are a lot of superstitions. There are a lot of superstitions. Another superstition is that if your hand is itching, the palm of your hand. You know that one very well. Chelete! Money is coming. And you will find people going to buy lotto tickets because the hand of the mother was itching. Money they don't have. Buying lotto tickets. Ask your neighbor which superstition is in operations right now in your life. Superstitions. They control our lives. There is another one that says, don't buy shoes to your husband or to your boyfriend. Because he will be wearing those shoes the day he is leaving you. He will be using those shoes to say, you and me. That if you check his shoes, he will be wearing the shoes you bought. So don't buy your husband's shoes. Those shoes will be used to take him out of the house. And you'll find a woman, she goes to a shop, she sees a nice pair of shoes. And she has the money to buy it for her husband. Hey, but she remembered this. They say, oh, no. Let me buy him a bracelet. Let me put handcuffs. Let me handcuff him with some bracelets. I'll keep him in the house. We are laughing about it. It's a lot of them. Every culture you choose, you will find there are some superstitions. There are some beliefs. And these things make us scared. We live in fear. We live in fear. And many of us live in deception. Can I tell you something? On the 12th of August, 2012, Marikana, 34 South Africans were killed. And do you know why they were killed? They were killed because a witch doctor told them, I'm going to put a muti on you and you will be bulletproof. They will shoot you, but the bullet will not touch you. So they went with their sticks. MP, bring your stick. The MP is from that culture. They were holding these things. They were doing like this. And there's a muti that they told them that if you take that muti, you just need the thing. You will beat those policemen. They will run for their lives. We know what happened. 34 died. 78 was badly injured. 78. Over 100 and something people. And today, our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has been sitting in this commission of Americana Commission of Inquiry to answer. And the lady Pia, is it Pia? Pia, yeah. She was sitting on those commissions. But the witch doctor has never been called to come and sit in that, because the witch doctor is the person that actually was behind the whole thing. Nobody has ever called that witch doctor to come and sit and tell us, why did you teach people these type of things? So as I'm teaching you, you guys are thinking this does not apply, but you'll be amazed at how superstitions and traditions are controlling our lives. Not culture. I like the South African culture. Don't you like these colors and all of these things that we have? It's beautiful. But beyond that, there are other things. And those things are the ones that control the development or lack of development in a place. Until a few years before us, in KZN, you could not give birth to an albino child and rest in peace. Because there is a belief that albino children are a muti. So they eat them or they use their body parts for mutis. Almost anywhere in Africa, there's a belief that every wild animal has power. And there is a belief that the power of that animal can be transferred to a human. So, like, for example, I can get the strength of a lion or a leopard or a snake. So that's why that, stand up, young man. You see, he has the right one. This one, come. You see this leopard skin, this thing. It's not just, you see, for us, today is just for cultural reasons. But back in the day, no. It's actually a belief that there's a leopard in me. The strength of a leopard is in me. And you get that strength, you kill the animal. While the animal is still trying to die, you take the heart and you eat it live. That's how you get the transfer of strength. This is what we have done. You will be amazed at what we do because of what we believe. There are certain places in Africa you cannot make a road, not because there is no infrastructure, but there is a tree, and people believe that tree is hosting their ancestors. There are some yards you cannot put a gate. You are blocking the entry of ancestors. There are some rivers you cannot put a bridge. The ancestors are sleeping in this bridge. You will disturb their sleep. And you find people living in abject poverty. And they are believing these things. Yeah. Our daughters believe if they smear themselves with some product, they will be attractive to men. Yeah. Some people might even be in this church now with a muti in the back. They came with it. It is either, you know, tell your neighbor, just touch your waist. Touch your waist. There might be something on the waist. Yeah? Something there. We keep them. We hide them. Nobody knows. But it's there. And you know, my daughters, I'm telling you, those things, let me tell you something. They don't smell nice. You see those things that they ask you to? First and foremost, they don't smell nice. They smell like poo. Yeah, I'm telling you now. So you continue smearing yourself with those things, people will just be running away fast. But if I were you, I was going to smear myself with the anointing oil. The Holy Spirit anointing oil. Yeah. Holy Ghost. You realize this because we prefer to go to a witch doctor to get power for wealth than come to church and learn the principles of God for wealth. These are the things people are busy with. When you see them there, they look rich. You have no idea what the deal is. You have no idea. Satan is a deal maker. He took Jesus on the mountain and wanted to make a deal. I'll give you all of this. You just do this. He's a deal maker.